I am thinking of the rapture in that blessed home am I, when the redeemed are gathering in. No world's sin, heavenly anthem in the grave. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering, when the redeemed, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin, I will shout and I will sing, when the redeemed are gathering in. There will be a great procession over on the streets of gold, when the redeemed are gathering in. Our bells, oh, out singing, oh, will be rolled when the redeemed are gathering. Oh, the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin. I will shout and I will sing, when the redeemed are gathering in. Saints will sing redemption story with their voices clear and strong. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels all will listen, for they cannot. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. The redeemed are gathering, oh, washed like snow and free from sin. I will shout and I will sing, when the redeemed are gathering in. The Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet hall. When the redeemed are gathering in, then in His invitation come be blessed. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering, oh, when they gathering in, when the redeemed are gathering, oh, washed like snow, oh, like snow and pure, oh, free from sin. I will shout and I will sing, when the redeemed are gathering in. Bethlehem's manger came forth a stranger, on earth I long, oh, to be like Him, my faithful Savior, how rich His favor on earth, oh, to be like. Who wants to be like Jesus? Let's sing hallelujah. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. Oh, I want to be like you, Lord, on earth I long. Oh, to be like through my sickness, my failings, and all my trials. Oh, through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only, oh, all I ask, to be like Him, serene and whole, so wholly obedient, oh Lord, take away my bad, Lord, to be like you, Lord, by grace for hallelujah, I'm forgiven, I'm an heir of heaven, I only, oh please, Lord, to be like Him, to be like Jesus.
Jesus Christ, I think it's a great privilege to be in the house of the Lord. It was a very good song of worship, and myself too yesterday, I enjoyed the song of worship. I come here praying, meditating upon the word of God. I took the song, despite that my voice is poor, I started singing with the song book, but I enjoyed it myself. It was very good. I hope the Lord will be with us this morning. Let's straight away open our Bible. In the book of Philippians, just to apologize to the saints, I say that we're supposed to continue on something today, but when I came here praying, the Lord didn't lead me there. He led me somewhere else. And I can only preach what the Lord wants me to preach. I can't just make my notes say this is the absolute. No. What the Lord says is what we follow. Let's open the Bible in the book of Philippians, in chapter 2. From verse 5 up to 10. Then we'll go to the next book after that one in Colossians. Chapter 2, verse 5 to 10. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Because Christ is our example. And the Lord wants us to be like that. And the mind is also a character. And whom being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, and even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him, and give him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and of things in heaven, and things in the earth, and things under the earth. Colossians is the next book after Philippians. Chapter 3, just one verse there, it's 17. And whatever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. Let us bow our head and we greet the visitor in our gate in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not a visitor here. The Lord knew you. We may never meet with you before, but the Lord knew you from the beginning of everything. Let us bow our head. Dear God, once again, we come this morning, humble ourselves before thy throne to thank you, for you says in your word, where two or three are gathered in my name, I shall be in their midst. Father, this is your word, is not our word, Father. And we believe that you are faithful to your appointment, Father. and you already keep them, and we believe that you are with us this morning. The song worship can witness, Father, that your presence is among us, Father. Father, I want to ask you again to bless us, Father. After reading the Bible, anybody that went to school, anybody that's able to read, can read it, Father. But the inspiration only comes from thee. That's why I ask you to come down and anoint my lips and the ears of my brethren and sister in this place, Father, that we should be able to hear from thee, Father. We believe that you use man as your co-worker, that you could speak the things of life through man. And we believe tonight, this morning, that you're going to use me, and I use also the heart of my brethren that to be able to receive thy word. Bless our visitor in our gate, Father. You knew them before the foundation of the world. Let this day be a day that they will be able to make the decision to follow you if they never knew you before, Father. What we want you, Father, that you should manifest yourself in the power of the resurrection. Not just resurrecting the dead only, but resurrect it inside of our heart, Father. That quicken our heart, Father, that something special should happen to our life. We know that someone can be healed today with a sickness, but tomorrow he will die maybe by accident for another sickness, Father. But we know once we have the eternal life, we become immortal, Father. That's why we ask you to drop down inside of our heart the life eternal that which we need, Father. We ask you to bless our pastor, Father, where he is this morning, that you should bless him, that he should be a blessing to the congregation, that you should use him in a special way, that when he come back, we should have a good report, that it was good, Father. We ask you to do the same way on all around the world, where people gather like manna, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you should bless them. Bless us this morning, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You maybe have a seat. Also, the pastor this morning, he sent me a message. He was greeting the saints. I should not forget it, because it's the pastor sending the message. The congregation must know. Now, before we could start, I will just ask you a few questions. One question, actually. Is there anybody here this morning before we come to church who was able to look on the mirror? I think everybody here, yeah? Everybody could lift up their hand and say they did. Because there's nowhere where you can, especially the sisters, before they come out of the house, they must look on the mirror. That is normal, it's natural for women to do so. And we want to look down to that line and to see ourselves in the mirror of the Word of God. Now, when I'm start reading the scripture, the message believer knows where did I get the scripture from. And it's simple, the message the prophet called. It's identification. And we want to go a little bit deeper in all corner and see where we are standing in the scripture. And if the women of this world, natural women speaking, they love to look on the mirror, it means that somehow the spiritual woman, which is the church, must love each time to look on the mirror of God's word. Because the scripture tells us that the woman, each time when we speak about the woman in the Bible, it's a type of the church. But if that nature is in the natural woman, which is normal for them to look on the mirror because they want to see how they appear before the husband, and that is normally things. And also the spiritual one must do the same thing. And you as a church individual and as a group of the people, we want to look on the mirror of God's word and find ourselves where we are standing. Now, if we look upon it and something that we have to do, we must do it. But if we look on it, we must only identify with Christ, because there's many characters in the Bible that you could identify yourself with it. But the example that was given to you and me is Christ. That the one that we must be identified with it, with him. If you are not identified with Christ, then something is wrong. You have to do something. And the prophet give a good story. Before we could start, many of the people knows the story about the young man who was living in the jungle. And somewhere outside, and one day, the young man come to his auntie place. When he get there where he was living, there was no mirror. It was just in the jungle. Maybe he could look on the water. And many people who lived in the village before we know, it's hard sometimes to find even the mirror to look on yourself. But you must go maybe through the water and look you face there, but you can't see it properly. But once you get a proper mirror, you'll be able to see yourself and see exactly how do you look like. Because someone else can tell you that you are perfect. Maybe you have something, a spot here. When you look on the mirror, you will see that I have a spot here. That the mirror tell me the truth. Because someone else doesn't want to offend you, say, your head is perfect, you know. But when you look at your head, you say, but there's something here on my head. He was telling me that is perfect. But I look on the mirror. The mirror tell me that there's something wrong. That's the best way that you can know yourself, who you are. And coming to church, if you want to tie, you tie it. You will find, you look on the mirror, I say, it goes left or right. Let me fix it, you know. Once you see yourself, you see exactly, this is the way I am. And it will tell you, nobody who can tell you better the way you are than the mirror. Because some people want not to offend the people. They don't want to tell the people what they are, the truth. But if you look yourself, you'll see me, I look like this. Even this natural life in our family. When we look through our family member, somehow we find ourselves maybe looking the same like the auntie, looking the same like the uncle, looking the same like the father, or looking the same like someone else. I remember when I went to Congo in 2009, and I took the picture of Rebecca Yosebed and went there before Boaz was born. And I went there with the picture in Congo. And when I come with the picture and show them the picture, and when you look at Rebecca, they say, how come he looks so perfect, like one of my sister that is in Congo. And I look at her face here, say, it's exactly the same. They say, but how come this one looks so perfect like her auntie? And when I brought the tape here to Dublin, I filmed there, and I bring there, and something strange. And when they look at the picture, all of them, they look at the video, and then Naomi says, Rebecca look like this auntie. And Yosebet say, Rebecca look like this auntie. And you see that something in natural that you can see that you can relate it to someone. You can see that in the family, you will look like someone. If you don't look like someone, you must ask yourself, I'm in this family or another family? Because you must look like someone in your family. Otherwise, there'll be a question, you know. One, I was in Congo last time when I was in Congo, and I was walking. And my father could look at me, and he say, this one is exactly the same like our father. He said, the way he walks the same way. I said, but I never saw him because he passed away when my father was maybe 29. And his brother, the one we call our grandfather, is the only one that I knew. And he's the one who take charge of the things and make my father grown up. And the last born that was in the mother wound, she was born after the father passed away. And I could not have even an idea how the things work. And the last time when I went to America in 2010, and my auntie, my uncle's wife, told me the same thing. He said, you look like exactly the grandfather of you, the father of your father. I said, somehow that's the way the things work in this life, that you must see yourself in the family related to someone. You must see yourself look like someone. If you don't look like someone in that family, something wrong somehow. Maybe they must bring all the picture and show, and you can tell yourself that this is like me and this is like me. And also in our family, spiritually speaking, the family of God, some of us can relate to Jacob. They can say, I look like Jacob, me. You see, you have to find yourself. But we know that all of them, they are our family member. But the one that was given as our example is the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll go through them, all of them, and all these people, Jacob, despite of his liar and everything, crook, he was one of our brother. And some stage in our life, we can look like him. But there's a better one that we can look like him. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the perfect example that was set for man and woman that believe in God should look like. And the prophet say about that young guy, when he came now to the town, and he came, he went on the stairs. He went on the stairs climbing. And he closed the door. He looked back at the door, that there was a mirror there. And the mirror, and he see like a young boy. He say, there's another young boy here. I thought I was alone. But when he waved his hand, He's waving back. He said, I start like to communicate it with the young boy. But when he come closer to the mirror, he find that there was no another young boy, but it was just himself talking to himself. And he say, Mom, I can see this is me. And the man was glad that he can see himself in the mirror and see the way he looked. But from where he come from, he wasn't able to look and see exactly the way he looks. But he was given chance now to get himself in the house of the auntie. And he could see that mirror and see this is a perfect me. Now there's nobody who can tell me the way I look. The mirror is telling me exactly the way I look. Because the better things that to tell you exactly the way you look is the mirror. It will tell you the way you look. Now we see that spiritually speaking, our mirror is the Bible. If you want to see the way we look, it must be the Bible that you're going to tell us. But me, I can't tell you the way you look. We want all to look together and see how did we look, who do we look like in the Bible. But the one we must look like, it must be the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody else, because all them in the Bible, the prophet, all them, Adam, everybody is a failure. But we don't want to look like a failure. We want to look like the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice that was made for you and I. Because the scripture says the mind that was in Christ be in you. That's a mind you and I want to be in us. And it's not a light thing. It's not something that you will hear a lot of amen. Because once we start looking in the Bible and see the way we look ourselves, we will wish not to look on it. But it's good to look at it. Because being the church, there's the nature inside of us that we must look time and time on the mirror. And see who do we reflect. Who do we look like? Because the natural woman like the mirror and the spiritual also look like the mirror. And the mirror is the word of God. That you and I sitting here this morning, we want to go through it and look and find exactly who do we look like. We don't want to look like someone else. We want to look like the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's the perfect sacrifice and the perfect example that was made for you and for me. That example that was made for you and for me. I don't want to look like Jacob. He was a good man. We will find him in heaven. But I don't want to look like him. He's not the model. I don't want to be a crook the way he was a crook. No, I don't want to look that way. I want myself to look in the Bible and see that I look like Jesus. That my character is like Jesus. That's why we sing the song. On earth, I want to be like Jesus. Time and time, I want to be like Jesus. That's the desire of every Christian. That the desire of every Christian is to be like Jesus. I'm not your model. You are not my model. Our example is Jesus Christ. It's the message of the hour. That is our example, what we want to look on it. Because we know that the word is the thought expressed. And we know that the scripture tells us that in the beginning it was the word. And the word was God, and the word was made flesh. And that word that was made flesh and dwell among us, according to John chapter 1, verse 14, says the word was made flesh and dwell among us. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. That word that was in the beginning is the one that was made flesh and dwell among us. And that is our example. It was by him that everything was created. It was by him that everything has life today. It was because of him that you and I have life. If it wasn't because of him, we should not be alive today. We could not call ourselves a Christian. Now that is the standard. Him is the standard for you and I to look to it. Because many people can claim a lot of things. All the religion. If you go to all the churches, they will claim to be Christian. But the only way that they can know themselves that they are Christian is by looking in the mirror of the word of God. They can't call them Christian because they want it to be. But the only way, the only things that can tell you that you are a Christian, any religion, when you look in the Bible and you can find that your religion, your Christianity is according to the Bible, then you can call yourself a Christian. Because many churches, many religions, many people claim. And we will know that not everybody that says, Father, Father, that will enter the kingdom of God. But the one that will do the will of the Father, and the one who sent the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, just laying a background, is the Holy Spirit. Is that right? It's the Holy Spirit that the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you never knew before, you maybe have another background of the church, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because every son or every daughter, to be my daughter, to be my son Boaz, he must have my blood on him. If he doesn't have my blood, he's not my son. That prove us that him being my son, he must have my blood on him. Now we know that the one who made Mary pregnant, it was the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit must be the Father then of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when he there, the blood that is in him is the blood of the Holy Spirit. Now there's no another Father apart from the Holy Spirit. But we know that there's another Christianity that teach people things that is contrary to the Bible. But we will not really cover all these things today. We want to look ourselves to the mirror of the Word of God. And if you look some of the people in the Bible, for example, in John chapter 6, you find that there was a group of the disciples that were walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 6 from verse 61, you can read yourself. They were following the Lord Jesus Christ. There is come to a stage now when the Lord Jesus Christ has to tell them the truth, the reason he came to the earth for. Because he can't just keep moving with them with the multiplication of bread and fish and people rejoicing, thinking that that was the purpose for Jesus coming on the earth. Sorry for me drinking some water. Now they made things different because they saw Jesus doing all these things. We know that the miracle, it was to attract the people to the message, to the voice that is coming, which is the message. Now Jesus did and he healed the sick and he multiplied the bread. People were very happy. They started following him now. Now when he get to the book of John, chapter 6, if you read him even from 47, you find that everything now changed. Jesus tell them now, started telling them the truth, the purpose by which he come on earth. He says, man, if you want to have life, you must eat my body. If you want to have life, you must drink my blood. But people get mad. They say, this man now is a cannibal. He asked us to eat his body. This man now is coming with a strange doctrine. We thought that he's going to continue multiplying the bread and doing all these things. But he changed now. But that the purpose he came for, that his body should be given as the sacrifice, that his blood should be drank at the wine, that when the people were using the Passover in the Old Testament, that through the type now, the reality must come now. Now the reality must be manifested. Because the prophet tells us each time when the shadow comes, it shows that there's a reality coming. Once the reality comes now, the shadow must go. And all these things must went. The sacrifice, the animal, and all these things must go. Because Jesus himself, he was on the earth. Those type now, the archetype now has come. Everything must be fulfilled now. Because all they were the type of the Lord Jesus Christ, sacrificing all the animals, the lamb that has to die for the innocent. And all these things, it was just the type. And we see that in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 29, that before even Jesus could be offered, as the sacrifice, he has to go to the water and to be clean first, because we know that the lamb must be washed first before he could be presented for the sacrifice. And when he went there, he told John, and John said, I'm not able, but Jesus said, we must fulfill every scriptures. You have to do it, because if you can't do it, John, my ministry will not start. My ministry is depending on this. I can't go. I can't be the lamb of God that take away the sin of the world without being washed first in the water. Now John finally say, this man is greater than me. But Jesus says, this is the portion of the word that must be fulfilled. Now every word of God must be fulfilled. Now God himself, he so much respect his word. And the prophet say he is bound to his word. God and his word, they are one. The scripture even tell us. They are not two, they are just one. Now, because the word says so, that the lamb must be washed first before he could go to the sacrifice. Now, Jesus has to go to the water first. And once he come there, he can be presented now. That he can become a sacrifice for your sin and my sin. Now, that's the only example, because there's nobody who was able to do it. We know that from Eden, when man fell, everything fell together with man. When Adam fell, everything fell together. There's nothing that could stand. And you and I, why we are called sin? Why our children? Why Boaz is a sin? Because all man and woman born of a woman is a sinner. No matter how the person is, even a pope, everybody on earth that born of the woman is a sinner now. Now, God has to make a way that to redeem that way, to pay the price of the sin. Now, that God must make a way, because we know that in the Old Testament, if you read the book of Leviticus, many books, it tells us how the work of the sin, that a sinner can be forgiven the way it used to work. If the sin can be forgiven, something must be a substitute inside of the sinner. Now, the substitute was that the lamb should die in the place of the sinner. If the innocent lamb could die now, the sinner will be accepted. Once your offering is accepted, you are accepted too. Once you come with the lamb, and they will examine the lamb, and the lamb without blemish and nothing, and we say this, the priest will say, it's okay, we accept this lamb. Once they accept this lamb, your sin is forgiven. And there's a transferring of sin. Your sin went from you to the lamb. That inside of you being guilty, the lamb become guilty. Because the wages of sin is death. Inside of you dying now, the lamb will die in your place. Now, that's the way the things happen there in Old Testament. And we stop sacrificing the lamb because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he came and took that place forever. That there's no need for someone to do the old way. If there's a religion that continue doing those things, they are not a Christian religion. They do not believe on the sacrifice that God made for them. Now, once you believe on that sacrifice, your sin and my sin was transferred now in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Him that he was holy, he became sin for you and I. That's why we took him as our example. Not someone else, that the Lord Jesus Christ is our example. If you sin, you must pay the penalty of it. If you are not a believer. Because even this law that we are living in this country, there's a law that if you transgress the law, then you have to pay the penalty of it. If you go over the speed limit that is providing a certain area, you must get a fine for it. The guard caught you, you will get a fine. That's the principle of it. And now you must pay that fine. Now we know that the sin, that the debt that we owe, nobody were able to do it. And in the Old Testament, when someone is a slave, as we were slave to sin, and someone is a slave somewhere, and he can't redeem himself, the one who must redeem him must be a nearest kinsman. That the nearest kinsman must go and do the work of the work of the redemption. But not only that, because there was things that was evolved with it for you to be a kinsman. Listen what the prophet says here in the spoken word, the kinsman and redeemer. And he says, before a man could redeem a lost property, he has to be the nearest kinsman. That the first thing that the nearest kinsman, the man must be a nearest kinsman. Now we see that for human being, now we know, for human being, there was no a kinsman for you and I except the God himself. Because the scripture, even Genesis, tell us that we were created in the image of God. We are not created in the image of the angel. Now the angel are not kinsman to us. They can't redeem us. The one who can redeem us, it must be God. But being Jehovah, he can't do that work of redemption. He can't. Jehovah can't die. He must use now a corporal body like your body and my body that he can take your sin and my sin. That's why we see God coming in the form of the flesh. in your form and in my form. The scripture tells us in Philippians what we read, that he came in the form of man, that he could redeem you and to redeem me. That the first thing, he must be the nearest kinsman. And the next thing, he had to be upright man. He must be just. And there's no man in this earth is just except the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's no man. The first things we see, that there's no man, a sinner can't redeem a sinner. That's why there's no way where a sinner can redeem a sin. If you are guilty, how can you redeem someone that is guilty? A guilty can't redeem another guilty. Now, it must be someone that is a just. And the only just that we can find on earth and in the heaven, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's how the things work. That the next thing that we see, that these things, there's no man, there's no prophet, there's nobody that were able to do it except the Lord Jesus Christ. We know from heaven, even the group, a certain group of the angels, they fell down. They fell. Lucifer with his group, they fell down. That to show that the only person that's unfallible, it's God. Everybody else will fail. Now we see that the just one, it must be God. And the next one, and they say the just to do it. And then he had to be worth enough money to do it. He must have enough money to do it. He can't just say, I'm going to redeem you. No, despite that the person may be a kinsman, but he must have enough money. Because we have some of our kinsmen, they don't have money. If we are slaves, they don't have money to buy us from it. Now, if they can't do that way, they must wait the year of Jubilee. Now, that's the way the things work in the Old Testament. But now we find that the year of Jubilee, it even Christ himself. Because when he read Luke chapter 4, he said, today the scripture has been fulfilled. Now you see that everything now that was in the Old Testament, it's all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And when you read your Bible and you can't see Jesus on it, you must read it again. Because in all the pages of the Bible, all the stories of the Bible, love story and any story, we must find the Lord Jesus Christ there. If you can't find him, you must read it again. Now we see that the way the things work, it was that way. He must have enough money, and then he has to make a public testimony that he has done it. There's nobody who did a public testimony except the Lord Jesus Christ that went to the cross to take away your sin and my sin. That's the reason that he is our standard. That's the reason is our mirror. Nobody else, not the people that follow him. Those guys say that, no, me, I find some character in the Bible here. I can relate to myself to this group of the people. After the blessing, the multiplication of bread and the things, and they went and they depart and they follow him no more. That is a sad group to identify to yourself. You want to be identified with him, and him is Jesus Christ that you want to identify with him. You don't want to identify yourself with Samson. That is Samson that fall with Dalila and give his strength to God. No. You want to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, there's people, characters in the Bible that we look at. We don't want to be like them. We want to be like Jesus Christ. Because it's the perfect sacrifice and it's the perfect model that was given for you and for me. Now, there's some people in the Bible, like Balaam. No, they sell the birthright of being a prophet because of money. I don't want to sell my birthright because of money. He sold it because he wanted money from Balak. He wanted money from there that he can pray and bring a curse upon the Hebrew children. But that is not a good model that you will do. You can't use the gift of God because of money. No, we don't use the gift of God because we want to get the money from it. We use the gift of God to save the people of God. But now he uses it in the wrong way. There's many characters that you find in the Bible. They are that way. We don't want to identify like them. If you can find yourself in that way, you must know that something must be done inside of your life. Because the only model that you can identify with him is the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to be like Esau, who sold his birthright. He sold it because of a plate of porridge. Because of hunger. and he could not stand anymore. And he just gives the better right. It's so precious that you can't do it. I don't want to be like Judah. That Judah, he sold the Lord Jesus Christ, the life giver, because of money's sake. How many people does it today? They sell the gospel because of money. They sell their birthright because of women. They sell their birthright because of popularity. And that is not a model for a Christian. The model for the Christian is Christ. We want to be like Christ, that he endured everything despite of poverty. And the scripture tells us that the Son of Man, the scripture says, fox has a hole where they can lay their head, but the Son of Man has no place even to put his head. You see, that is a perfect model that you and I want to follow. That when we look in the mirror of God's word, and we can find ourselves identifying with Jesus, it will be a blessing for us. Because that is the model. If we are not identified with him, and the prophet say we need a killing, we need a death, we need something to be done inside of our life to be identified with him. Because we can only be identified with him through death. Not joining church. The prophet say you can't educate someone to eat. No, it must be a new birth. That's the only way that you can identify yourself with Christ. But if it's a new birth now, it means that everything, all the things must completely die. And it must not only die, but the prophet say rotten. Completely die and rotten. That the old nature must completely die. Now, because there's some of the character also in the Bible, it's horrible to identify with it. That to be like them. Let's get, for example, like Jezebel. Jezebel was one of the character that there's no woman who like to act like her. To be identified like her. But somehow, I'm not guaranteeing that everybody in this church here, present now, that will identify himself with Christ. But if you can identify yourself with a certain character in the Bible, and there's a possibility now, you find where you are standing, there's a possibility for you to identify with Christ. Because there was a provision that was made for you to get there. God has provided a way that you can get there. But if you look at yourself, being identified like Jezebel, you must know that your end will be like Jezebel. If you can't change, it will be the same thing. Because we know that she was the woman that in the Bible, that when we speak about Jezebel, we speak about the wrong woman. We speak about Jezebel, we look at this modern Jezebel today, like Madonna, Whitney, the one who passed away, all these things, Beyonce, all these people, those are Jezebels. And we don't want to identify like them. Because we see that the end of the life of Jezebel, the scripture tells us she was eaten by a dog. And if you want to look like that person, you'll be eaten by a dog. Because that's the way, that was the end of it. And as a Christian, as we sit here this morning, we want to identify ourselves with Christ. We want to find ourselves, all the scripture, to be like Christ. If we are not yet there, God has made a way. What we need now is dying. The prophet say it's a killing. That is the matter. If we want to be like him, we must accept to die. Now, when someone died because of the separation, people mourn. There's a mourning. There's nowhere where you go. Here in Europe, where we live, there's a civilization, you know. People put black. But black doesn't mean someone is crying. They put a black suit. They will dress in a black color. That's a civilization here. But us from Africa, we know when maybe the neighbor or someone passed away, everybody will be mourning. Everybody will be mourning. Tear will be coming down and on the cheek, and the people will see that these people are in pain. And what makes that pain? It's the separation. And the spiritual death also is the same thing. The same thing. And the prophet said, you can't come to the altar laughing. No, you can't come to the altar laughing. No, it's the type of death. When you come to it, it must be tea dropping down. That's the way the things must happen. You can't receive Christ just laughing. No, you must cry because there's a separation now. To enter to a life of Christ, There's a separation now. There's a death from the Adamic nature that we are born on it. And we see even the same thing with Jacob. It wasn't something easy for him to change his name from Jacob to Israel. It was something that he has to struggle with the angel of the Lord. He has to wrestle with the angel of the Lord. And he could not even sleep. It was the whole night that he had to wrestle with the angel of the Lord. Now to die to certain behavior and a certain desire inside our life, it takes the same thing. It takes maybe the whole night not sleeping, praying, asking God for that old nature to die on it. That it should not work, not just to finish with it, just no. That to die completely and rotten there. Because you want to make sure that the nature that I will resurrect you to with it, it must be the nature of Christ. Let's read Hebrews. Let's read one scripture to show you the proof of it. Because Paul said something in the book of Hebrews. Let's open our Bible to the book of Hebrews. I show you where Paul says he showed the same thing, that for us to be part of Christ, the same thing must happen. So the book of Hebrews, it must be Hebrews. If not Hebrews, it's Roman. But I must make sure. Just bear with me, showing these things. It's never been a pleasure, but it's Roman. Because Hebrews, I know, chapter 6, is Paul was speaking about his people, not to tell them about the Melchizedek, if I could remember the scripture. Now, it's Roman chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was risen up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. And it must be death that bring the newness of life. Without death, it can't happen. Now the prophet says, joining the church, it will not give you it. It must be a death now. Now, to be able to identify yourself with Christ, it must be a death. Not to be educated, no. There's many Bible colleges. If you go to the internet, you go everywhere, you will find them. But those Bible colleges, they can't produce the new birth. Because a new birth, for you to be born first, you must die. The same way as the principle of the seed. If you put the seed on the ground, the seed must die, rotten there, then it can bring a new life. Without that, it can't happen. That the process that was made for it to go through is the same thing now. The natural typify the spiritual. That the same thing must happen now. That we see that we have to die completely for our own things now. And to be able to identify with Christ. Because it's the one that we want to identify with it. We don't want to identify with someone else. We don't want to identify ourselves like a soul. Because the prophet said that soul is a popularity. Because the scriptures tell us in Philippians that he made himself without reputation. He made himself without reputation. He became so small that even where he was born, it was a place that you can't think that the King of heaven and the earth can be born in that place. The Son of God can be born in that place. Why he did it now? Why he did it? It's because of your sin and my sin. And that's the way he wants us to be. We don't want just to be big someone, no. We want to humble ourselves toward the word of God, that we can identify ourselves with God. Without it, it can't happen. Now, because your character, it tells you who you are. If you can identify with Christ, it will show exactly with it. And the prophet say, in life, somehow, we associated with the people that has a different color with us. They have a different background with us, different language with us. What made us be together? Because we have one character that bring us together. We have one mind that bring us together. Look the way we sit here this morning. Different color, different language. I speak French, Lingala, some speak English and Shona, some speak Russia and a different language. But what made us to come here? It's one mind. It's that the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that the things that we want to find in one another. Now, the people of God, they go together. The people of God, they gather together. If you are the children of God, your fellowship, even outside of the church, will be with the children of God. Because that the type of the people, you have the same character with them. Now, if you find even this life, if you go, even the people who does everything, the people of smart people, the people are very clever. When even they go to the website, when they are selling things, they put people by category. They put people by their type. They stereotype a certain class of the people. That these people, this age, from to that age, they like this thing and they like this. And they put them together. Now, it shows exactly that these people has something in common. But you and I, the people that we associated, not only in church, but even outside of the church, the people we associated with, it shows that we have something in common. If we don't have something in common, we will not associate it with them. Something must be in common. If you like to be with the people of the world, it's sure a sign that there is something of the world inside of you. If that thing is not there, it can't happen. Let's open the book of Amos, show you by the proof of the Bible. In the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible tells us very well, tell us exactly that that is the same thing. If someone get there quick, he can read for us Amos chapter 3. Well, I'm looking there. Amos chapter 3 in the Old Testament. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Any voluntary, you can read for us the scripture. Amos chapter 3. You see, the scripture tells us, can two walk together except they are agree? They must be agree if they want to walk together. And to walk with someone that is not a Christian, willing or not, you agree with the person somehow. Because it's a spiritual matter. You agree with it. To be with someone together, you must agree with it. You must agree with it. There's no way where we will go with that person without being agree. Because otherwise you will split quick. If you are together, it means that you agree. You have the same character. That's why you are together. That's the way the things work that way. And us as a Christian, we must also say, not just come on Sunday and the whole time that we spend on the weekend. We just spend on the week, we just spend the time with the hidden, with the people of this world. Maybe on the website, that the things that is inside of you. If the things of Christ is inside of you, you will like the children of God. You will like to spend more time with the children of God than you can spend with someone else. Because it's a problem of something matching together. If that things of the world in you, that's why it will push you to go there. If that nature of soccer is inside of you, that's why you will rejoice more to watch the soccer than to be in church. Church will be boring for you. Because these things of the God is not in you. You are not identify yourself with Christ. If church will become boring, because you will like that, I wish I could be there. I'm missing my TV, my daily program there. I'm supposed to watch something there. That the nature is inside of you. But for you to identify with Christ, that nature must die for you to be able to identify with him. Now there's no way where you can identify with Christ with that nature. You're just fooling yourself. And now it's not me telling you. I tell you that the best one to tell you who you identify with him, it must be the mirror. Now, the best way to tell you in the spiritual things, who are you identifying with him? It must be the Bible. It's not me. It's not the pastor. It's not you, brother, or you, father. No, it's the Bible that will tell you. The life that is inside of you. Despite that, we do not mind that this body sometimes is weak. Despite that the body is weak, but inside of you, the desire there, should be the desire of Christ. Inside of your heart there, everything that you are longing there should be for Christ. If something is there that is not of Christ, it's the time for you to ask for a killing to yourself. That to die yourself, that you can be born again. If your behavior is contrary to the word of God, that you must ask. That's why we read that scripture Let's read it again in Colossians. That we read the scripture there. It says, after Philippians. The scripture says there, I like that scripture so much. One day, I heard the prophet who was speaking on it, on the Ephesian church edge. He was telling about that scripture, and it is striking me so much, and I like it so much, that scripture. It's Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a nice scripture now. If you identify yourself with Christ, whatsoever you do in word and deed, it must be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. As a Christian, that is the standard. As a Christian, that is the model for you and I. And the prophet said that if you can't put that short skirt in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, get rid of it. That's the scripture. That's the scripture. If you can't go to the pub in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, get rid of it. Because the scripture says everything you do in word and act, in word and deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you hate your brother, is it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? No, sir. But you have to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the scripture, that everything we do in words and in act, speaking, we must speak in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we speak the language, if we use the language of the street, the language of the heathen, then we are not speaking it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if it's not in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a Christian, we should get ready with it. We should finish with it. Because the scripture says everything you do, you must do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, through Christ, he manifests certain of his character. That's why the way we know God, it was because of Christ. Because the scripture says now. Now in John chapter 14. Let's go to John chapter 14. The scripture shows us who the Lord Jesus Christ is. The people want to know the Father, his disciple. They want to know the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. But look, the Jesus answered to them. Jesus was showing them that, no, me, I'm the Father. Because the Father expressed himself in me. I can identify myself with the Father. Now, us as a Christian, we have to do the same thing. John chapter 14, from verse 18. From verse 8, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not know me? Philip, he that had seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Because the Father was living in him. That he was able now to reflect the Father. He was able to show the people that I am the Father. Now Philip, his question was answered. He said that now, if you want to know the nature, if you want to know the character of my Father, you want to know the character of the Father, look at me, then you will know the character of my Father. And the prophet said, God has made a way for the people who are not able to read the Bible. The people who didn't went to school, God has made a way for them. And the way he made for them is you and I. That we are the living epistle, written epistle of the living God. That those people who are not able to read the Bible, who afford to buy a Bible, they can see the Bible through us. That's the only way that we can identify ourselves with Christ. And those kind of the message, there's not a lot of aim, and you don't expect it. It's not a message of making people happy. It's just examining our life and see where we are standing with the scripture. And they are not popular in these days, because we know only the seventh messenger can preach those kind of the message. They are not popular. Now, everything we see now, Jesus, that's why the scripture, John chapter 5, 39, that's why the scripture is the best things to tell you. If you are a daughter or a son of God, it must be the Bible. Not someone else. Someone can cool you down because he doesn't want you to be offended. He doesn't want you to feel bad. But the scripture will tell you the truth, exactly who you are. The scripture will tell you who you are. But someone else may tell you, because he wants to make you happy. No, we want to make the people happy, but we must preach the gospel of God. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will make the people happy. Because he said himself, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Once you know it, you will be free. You will know your position. Now, John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus telling them now that the mirror where you can set yourself, where you can see who am I, is going to scripture. And you and I, we want to look John chapter 5, verse 39. It says, search the scripture, for in them ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The scripture that testify of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scripture should testify you and should testify of me. That the only thing that can tell you who you are is the scripture, not yourself fooling yourself. Not a great man that telling you there from the pulpit, ah, God bless you. You are a daughter of God. No. You say, ah, that is good. But let me see in the scripture. Is it the scripture testify of me that I'm a daughter or a son of God? Because the scripture can testify contrary. The scripture can testify that you are Jezebel. That what you have to do with it. That the scripture can tell you that, look, my friend, you are Jacob. You need to be Israel. Now the scripture that will tell you. And the scripture is the best way to tell us who we are. Is the scripture. Not one another. Someone can discourage you. Someone can come and maybe you are not agree with him in some things. And they tell you, ah, you are not a son of God. But no matter what the person says, who matter? What matter is the word of God. That is what the matter. If someone can tell me, ah, you are not a daughter of God, but I know the scripture tells me that I'm a daughter of God. I don't worry what the person says. Because that is his own word. It's not the word of God. It's the scripture that testifies of Jesus. I want the scripture to testify of me. I want the scripture to tell me that I'm a son or a daughter of God. I don't want someone to tell me that. I want the scripture to tell me that the mirror of us as the church, as we see that in the natural, the woman like the mirror, and the woman being the type of the church, spiritually speaking, the church should like the mirror more. And to check themselves before they go, because the scripture says, everything you do in deed and in word, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can't cut your hair in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then leave it. Because that's the scripture. If you can't do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, why are you doing it if you are a Christian? You have to leave it. If you can't put the trouser in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, why are you putting it? You have to get ready with it. That's what you see that the reason we do these things, the prophet say, there's only two things that you can live with it. Is the faith and the unbeliever. And the sin is the unbelief. Drinking is the attribute of sin. Going to the nightclub, adultery, and all those things, the prophet say, they are attribute of sin. But sin is unbelief. The way you do it, because you do not believe. If you believe, you can't do it. That's the end of the story. You can't do it if you do not believe. But if you are a believer, you will not do it. If that thing come upon you, you will cast it out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will overcome it by words. And it's not your word, the word of God. The same way Jesus overcome the devil by the word of God, you will do the same thing. When the devil come to him, and he says, no, you can turn this stone to bread. And say, no, you can't. The man should not live by bread alone. See the way he overcome. When something comes to you and to me, what do we do it? We turn it down by the word of God. It says that he said that you should not steal. I'm not stealing. It's not the scripture. See the way you do it. Because everything you have to do, it must be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we see that these things we do in a secret. If we can't do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, why do we do it? You can't do them. We can't do them in the name. If we can't do them, we should not do it at all. If it's not made in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should finish with it. And that is the gospel. That is the model that was provided for you and I. And we see that the prophet said that God-loving character. Let's get down to the business now. God-loving character now. It's one of his character that he manifested to this world. That's the loving character of God. We want to look at it. Now, you know what I'm talking about. When we're speaking about God-loving character, we think straight away about John 3:16. That's God-loving character. When he sees someone dying, that's the nature of God. And let's read John 3:16. When we see that one of God's character, that all of you, we want to identify with it. All of us. Now we want to identify with that character. Now John 3:16. And it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believe in him should not perish, but have has everlasting life." That's what the scripture says. God so loved the world. Now that is character, God loving character. That the nature of God is love. That the nature of God is love. Because through all the scripture, God manifested himself as the love. All the scripture, the character of God is love. That you and I, we have to find ourselves in that condition. And that love is not human love. Because we know there's a filial love and there's the agape love. And that the agape love that we want to speak now. And that is the love of God. Not the filial love. Because the filial love, you like someone because of the beauty. You like someone because of money. You like someone because the way she talks or he talks, that the way you like someone. But the agape love, you like someone just because the nature of God is inside of you. That's what Jesus did to us. When we were sin, and that love was projected, the agape love now, and it made Jesus to go extra mile, and made Jesus to become like a man, make God to become lower than the angel, the scripture says, to save a soul that is dying. That's the loving character of God that we should have, all of us. Because the prophet says, remember when he went beyond the curtain of time, he said nothing will enter there except the perfect love. That the perfect love is the agape love. Not the love we are talking of this world. You met a girl today without knowing her and you say, "I love you." Not the love that we are talking about. Because that one is a fake one. You say this word because you want to win her or you want to get something from her, from the man or from the girl. We are not talking about those love. We are talking about the love of God. We are talking about the agape love, the divine love that we are talking about. Because there's so many fake love in this world. Tomorrow you say, I find the person of my life, you know. When always I speak about these things, I remember the story Brother David told me from his workplace. That the lady that was living with her boyfriend, he said, "No, I love you so much." And one day she went to the pub and come with the ring and says, "No, finish the story. I find the man of my life." But what was the wasting of time all those time was telling the man, "I love you, I love you." You see, it's not that kind of love that we are talking about. We are talking about the agape love. And when even the person is not lovable, but you could still love the person. When you and I were a sin and there was nothing good in us, there was nothing good in us, but God came to us and to call us out of that condition. That the love, I want to identify myself with it. And that the person of Christ, because God is love. I don't want to use the power of God for something else. I want to have it. Because the prophet tells us only the perfect love that will enter there. But if you can't shake a hand properly with your brother and your sister, and that love is not there. Because God loved even his enemy. When they were crucifying him, nailing him, what did he say? Fire should fall upon them. No. Say, no, fire should not fall upon them. He says, God forgive them. They do know what they are doing. Even his enemy testify of him that this man is the son of God. That the love we want. I don't want to look at the Bible and identify myself like Elijah. When the children laugh on him and he command that the animals should come and destroy the life of 42 children. And the disciple, they took that example and they tell the Lord Jesus Christ, you far come down and consume these people the way Elijah did it. And Jesus said, no, the Son of Man didn't come to destroy the life of the people. He came to save the life of people. That is a loving character of God. You don't want to destroy someone's life. You want to save the life of someone that is dying. Is that what I wanted to be my portion? That's what the end story of being a Christian is, to have that divine love inside of you. Someone that is condemned. Someone that is supposed to go to jail. And the death was pronounced for the person. And someone come else and said, no, this person is not worthy of death. It's me that should be taken in this place. How to be like that? That he said, no, this person leave them. And I want to see, if you look at the ministry of the people in the Bible, if you look at the Moses when he started his ministry, he grown up to that love that he was able to send between man and God. And we know that it was just the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same way we know that Moses, he was a perfect type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The things he went through, Moses, when he was born, we know the scripture tell us. You read Exodus chapter 1, Exodus chapter 2, you will find the story of Moses. Moses, when he was born, before even he could be born, Pharaoh, he commanded all the midwife that look, that all the male child that will be born, because he heard about it, that God is sending Hebrew children a deliverer. He's sending them a prophet. And once he knew it, he tell all the midwives, that's all the children that will be born, the male one, leave the woman. The woman is the type of the church. The man is the type of Jesus Christ. And he said, leave the male one. Now, kill all the female, kill all the male, and leave the female. And the midwife, those Hebrews' mother, they have respect to the word of God. They say, we can't do a such a thing. We can't compromise with the word of God. And they says, no. The Hebrews women, they are very strong. Before even we get there to help them, they already deliver their babies. That's why the baby boy are born. You see that they were very clever. And those women, we know who they are, the midwife. They are the type of pastors that they bring Christ to the life of the people. And some of them, they are so caught up by another gospel, which Paul says, there's no another gospel, but the people are troubling you. Those kind of gospel that is different from the scripture. They let the woman to be born in church. Plenty of them, they are killing men and they leave the women. That's what you see the system of today. They don't allow that Christ should be born in the life of the people. And those women, we see that the same way, the same thing when Christ was about to be born. And Pharaoh even issued a law now that now we must kill all the children. From 5 up to down. And Moses was included there. And the same thing that happened with Herod. When Jesus Christ was born. He said they must kill all the babies. He was the type. And we see Moses growing up in his ministry. By the time we get to Exodus 32. We find now that the Hebrew children. They rebel against God. And God wanted to finish with them. God tell Moses. Look, Moses. I'm going to kill these people. I know that you can only be a prophet when you have a people. But I will make you another people that you can be a prophet to them. But because of loving character of God inside of Moses, he could not let God do that thing. What did he say to God? He said, God, take my name, kill me inside of these people. And the prophet said, I wonder how Moses could do such a thing. But the prophet said, later, I understood that it was Christ in Moses doing it. Because he was just the type. Now Christ become now the perfect now. That for you and I. That inside of us dying. Because it was we that sinned. Because remember even in Exodus 32. The Lord tell Moses. He said the soul that sinned, the soul that is going to die. And Moses said, no, despite their sin, but you take me. What the people will say. Now that's what happened in the life of Jesus. You and I sinned inside of us dying, but he took your place and he took my place. That's the loving character of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the character I want to identify myself with it. That the mind, Paul says, let the mind of Christ be in you. That the one I wanted to be my portion. If I could leave this place this morning and go with that in my mind, and God should drop that agape love inside of me and to love even my enemy. That is the portion of the scripture. That the nature of God that I wanted to see it manifest inside of my life. I don't want when someone do me wrong and reward wrong to wrong. No, that is not the nature of God. You will tell me about Elijah. He did it, but the prophet tell us he was an angry prophet. He did it. He misused the power of God because God is love. God is not there to kill. You see, but now us as a Christian, when we look on the mirror of the word of God, we should find ourselves identified there. Are you able to love the people who even your enemy? Because that is the scripture, friend. That is the scripture. We must get it there. When the test come, will you be able to love that person that says something wrong with you? Will you be able to pray for the same person? Because he asked even the forgiveness of the sin of the people that ask, let his blood be upon us. You remember the choice they made in Matthew 27. They made that choice. They choose a murder. They say, away with Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. You see, they make that choice. And the same people that made that choice, when it comes to a time to pray now, he could ask the fire down upon them. But he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Because their love even is blind. That is the agape love. Because it covered the multitude. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Show you the characteristic of love. It covers even the multitude of sin. Now, us as a Christian, when we look on the mirror of God's world, we must identify ourselves with Christ. Because God is love, and that things must be inside of us. If the things is not in us, then we must ask for dying ourselves. We must ask for a killing. Now, in Proverbs, in chapter 10, verse 12, and he says, hatred strike up strife, but love covered all sins. That's the character I want. That is my choice. And I read you a very good quotation here from the prophet. I feel many of the message believer knows that quote. It's a very, very good. It's a very, very good quote. The prophet show us here. It's a very, very good quote. It's very good from the spoken word, the love. The prophet show us. It's a quote that I love always. When I come to a trouble where I can't love my enemy, I would like to read this quote. It's a very good quote. The prophet, he says here. In the spoken word, love, it was preached in 1956, and say, I think love is the greatest force there is in the world. That's what the prophet said. The love is the greatest force there is in the world. There's nothing more powerful than love. Can you tell me something more powerful than love? There's none, obviously. All of us, we know, there's nothing more powerful than the love. And the prophet, he says, if I had the choice tonight, and I was a sinner, and I was standing here before God, and he have said, boy, I'm going to give you all spiritual gift. I am going to let you prophesy, give you the spirit of prophecy. I'm going to make you a mighty preacher, give you the word of wisdom and understanding. I'm going to give you the gift to speak in tongues. And to interpret. And I am going to give you a gift of the healing that you will have great faith for sick. And I am going to do all these things for you. I will give you all that. Or I won't let you have any of this gift, but let you have really love in your heart. Listen what the prophet say. I will say, God give me love. That's right. That was the choice of the prophet. If God could take away all the healing ministry, all the prophecy, all the discernment, the prophet said if the choice was given, he will choose the love. Now that should be everyone in Christian desire. That everyone in Christian desire, that even everything will fail, but the love can't fail. And we know the only thing that, why the love can't fail, because God is love. Because that is the nature of God. The only thing that can't fail is God. And that's why you have to understand there's a filial love and the agape love. And the prophet, he was speaking about the divine love. The agape love that he wanted above everything. Because the scripture itself, it witness. If you open your Bible to 1 John chapter 3, you see what the scripture says there. That is for us to look on the mirror of the word of God and to identify ourselves with who? With Samson? No. To identify ourselves with Christ. That's what we want to identify it. Not with Jezebel. We want to identify ourselves with whom? With Christ. That is our model. Now, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message. Which message is this? This is the message that ye heard it from the beginning, that we should love one another. That is the message that we heard from the beginning. Why is that the message? Because God is love. And his loving character makes someone to be saved. His loving character, that he could love his own enemy, even the people who split on him, he didn't reward evil to evil. That the nature I want to have in my life. Amen. And Paul even tells us that everything. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's a familiar scripture. And Paul shows us there how the things happen. He said, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and the angels and have no charity, I become a sounding brass and a tickling cymbal." That's why the prophet said, if the choice was given unto me for tongues and all these things, I will have no need of the tongues. I will make the choice to have love. And he says, "And though I have the gift of the prophecy and understand all the mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountain and have no charity, I am nothing." It's even possible to remove mountain, but not have charity. That we know that the gift is not the evidence of the Holy Spirit. That's why we know that. Because someone can even remove mountain, but doesn't have charity. And charity is God. Because Jesus himself, even he says in the book of Matthew chapter 7, he said, I will tell you, depart from thee, you that were committing iniquity. But they will say unto him that we cast the devil in your name. Even someone who commits iniquity can cast the devil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is not that the scripture? Because Jesus says that they are even able, they were even telling the Lord Jesus Christ that we were casting devils. We were doing wonders in your name. But the measure is that the love is not there. Is what? Paul said, tell us, is nothing. If the charity is not there, is nothing. The prophet said today, the people went looking for the gift inside of looking for the giver of the gift. The people went looking for blessing inside of looking for the giver of the blessing. But if you find that, it will be something precious. If you look even the book of Esther, Esther chapter 2, you find that Esther now, when it come time that her turn to go to the king, that she has to become the queen, they present a vessel full of gift. They come with it there. They say that for the damsel, it was for everybody to get what they want. But Esther there, her heart was so much upon the king. He want to win the king. Then once she know that I have the king, all the gift will be mine. That was her motive. And she didn't worry. She wasn't busy about all these things. She was busy to get the king. Once you get the king, Do you understand what I'm talking about? I hope so. Once you have the king, because that king is love. That king is Christ. And once I have Christ, once I have that loving character of God, the love inside of me, all these things automatically will fall mine. Because you can't marry to the king and not have everything that the king has, no? If you marry to the king, if you marry someone, even this land we are living, the law of the land, it says that if you marry someone and that you are married to the person according to the law, and he become your husband, is a rich man, a portion of the good will be used automatically. Now the same thing applying spiritually. Once we marry to Christ, all the things become ours. There's no worry. All these things become ours. But the first thing to make sure that we are married with him. We have that love inside of us. But the principle there of the gospel, to marry with him, Paul tells us in Romans 7, Paul tells us the scripture there, that before you could marry, the first husband must die first. Not in the hospital, not in the intensive care. He must die completely. Because from the intensive care, someone can come from there, alive. We saw it, many people. We saw it with Brother Bishop. From the intensive care, 45 days, he come from there. You see that he showed that the person first must die and they put the person on the ground. And they can say, you can climb, says, no, me, I can marry, my husband is died now. But if the husband is alive, you can't marry the new one. Now we see that is a principle of the scripture, spiritually speaking. The Adamic nature that we are born with it, that Jezebel nature must die before you could marry to Christ. That's the principle of the scripture. It must die first. Then it gives you access to marry with Christ. Because you can't have two living husbands at the same time. That is not Christianity. That is not the Bible. And Christ being the word, he can't do a such thing. He can't do a such thing. He can't marry someone that is still married to Adamic nature. No, he will not marry you. If you still marry to the world, if you love the things of the world, the love of God is not inside of you. You have to come out of that condition. If you like the fashion of the world, the love of God is not inside of you. And we see that God is love. And we want to have that love inside of us. That we will be able to love even our enemy. Let's go move to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Move to 1 John chapter 4 and to show the scripture. Now from verse 7, we want all of us to have the loving character of God. And he said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loves is born of God and know God. Now, everyone that loves is born of God and know God. Not love someone because he loves you. Love someone even he doesn't love you. Because that's the nature of God. And to know God, to know that is speaking here, is speaking about intimity. That is speaking about intimity. Listen to what he say. Now, once that love is born of God and know God, it's speaking about intimity here. Know God is. It's not the way we think that knowing. And if I could refer, the better place for you to understand is in Genesis. When the scripture says that Adam knew his wife and she conceived. That the meaning here. Know God. It's become one with God. It become to intimate in one relationship. That you and God become one. Because that's the same word used here. He says to know God. And in the beginning, the word tells us in Genesis that Adam knew his wife and she conceived. Now, it's not the way we think he knew his wife. It was a little bit deeper than that. Now, we see that the word it says now is know God. He says, if it's the one who loves know God, it means that he become to a personal relationship. They come to intimacy with God. He know God. He know God through the power of the forgiveness. He know God through the power of the loving character. That he was able even to pray for the people who didn't love him. That's why Paul says that everything else will fail, but the charity will never fail. That should be the desire if you look yourself in the mirror of God. Can you love even the people who can't be loved? Do you love someone because of what you can get from him? Do you love someone because he's a good person? I will come and have a good meal with him. No, you should love the person with a genuine love, the agape will love. Even when the people do you wrong, you still love the person. That is the test. And the prophet said to get there, where all of us, our aim sitting here this morning, is that we want to get there. We want to get there beyond the curtain of time. But to access there, it must be a perfect love. It's not me, it's the prophet says. And he didn't say by his own word, he experienced it. He went there on the vision. And he get there and he say, nothing else can enter there. But your motive and my motive, coming to church here, because we want to get there. That is our objective, is to get there. To get there, it takes something more deeper. And he says in verse 8, He that loved not, knoweth not God, for God is love. That's the perfect. He tells us who God is. God is love. Who does not love, he doesn't know God. Because God is love. God is love. That's the character I want to see myself looking in the mirror for God's words. And see myself reflecting that character. If it is not there, that nature is not there. If I identify myself with someone else, then I say, oh, I'm identifying myself with Peter, who take the ear of someone. He was a son of God, but he has to go beyond that. He has to go beyond that. Peter has to go a little bit further until when he receive that power from heaven. At that day, Peter could not do such a thing anymore. Once Peter received that Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, he could not do such a thing anymore. That's the conversion. Once you receive it now. But Peter was able, before he could get there, to do miracles. He was able to do other things. But he still didn't have yet that things. Do you understand this thing? Peter was there, was able to do miracles. Was able to cast out the devil. But he didn't have the thing what it take. That when he see the enemy stand, that he could say, ah, forgive him. No, because when they come, he took the sword. He misused the sword, which represents the word of God. Inside of using the sword to save the life of the people, he used the save to cut he. Cha, it's gone. But later on, Peter, he could not do such a thing. Because something came inside of him. The person of Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit started dwelling now inside of the heart of Peter. Peter became a dwelling place. Now things completely change. Completely change. But Peter, remember, he had to go through that process. They have to spend that 10 days there. Die completely from everything. And they can receive that things. Die from their culture. Ah, it's not from Congo. It's not from Zimbabwe. Ah, why did I do it to him? No, that thing has to die first, friend. Before you could have it, it has to die for us. It doesn't mean that you are not a child of God. But for you to get the way God wants you to get, you must die of these things first. When that night is there, I'm not going to church, man. Ah, the pastor is not there. Ah, that guy will come and preach there. No, because that nature is alive there. That thing needs to die, you know. You can't water that thing. That thing must die completely. If it's not to die, you look yourself in the mirror of God. You can see that there's something wrong with me. I need killing here. I need something to happen here. I need God to do something here. Because this is not the nature of God. Because the love covers even the multitude of sins. Let's read one scripture about love. So we could go back there. Let's read in Peter. Read one very good scripture there. It's a familiar scripture. But sometime, once in a while, it's good to remember those scriptures and read them. And to show exactly where things are. I think it's 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. I get all my scripture down there. That I should not take time of the people. But sometime when you go through a lot of scriptures, but we get there anyhow. No. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 First Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4. We are there. First Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Listen what the Bible says. And above all things, have a favor to charity among yourself, for charity shall cover the multitude of sin. That's the scripture, friend. That's the scripture. That's always about love again. That the loving character of God that was able to come down and become a little lower. And he didn't ask, he didn't put himself equal to God. And made himself without a reputation. What nature else could do it? What character could do that one? Except the love that could come down to someone that is not able to be loved. Because a sinner, someone that was stealing, someone that was doing a wrong thing, but a holy man now, he come to give his life for that sinner person. It must be God. And that God is love, the scripture tells us. The scripture tells us that God is love. And that is the nature you and I want to have inside of our life. We don't want to identify ourselves with someone else. In two stages of our life, we can identify with someone. But there's a stage that, you know, me now, as I'm looking in the mirror of God's words now, I want to identify myself with Christ. That's a model, friend. That's not someone that rebelled to the word of God, you know. No, you don't want at a certain stage of your life that you identify with Moses when Moses smite the rock twice. No, you don't know what to do that. That to show you that these people were good people. Moses, Peter, all these people, Samson, he was a good person. He was an instrument of God. But to show you that all these people, they are failure. The old model that was set for you and I is Christ. It's the one that we want to identify with him. It's the only human being that we want to identify with him. When he took the form of a man, that you and I could see the life that he lived, that we should live like him. If that could be our prayer, that before we leave this place, say, God, we want to be like you. And now in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. And is this was the manifestation, the love of God toward us. In this was the manifestation of the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son unto the world that we might live through him. Through that Christ, that we might live. If it wasn't of him, we should not live at all. Because it was someone sacrificed his own life. Someone sacrificed the life of a pleasure. The prophet said he had the right to have a wife like every man. But he could not have it. Why? Because he wanted to fulfill his mission. He wanted to do what was ordained for him to do. And he was found worthy, according to Revelation chapter 5, that when John Luke wept, and he said, this humanity, all the mankind is in a cow now. There's nobody that will be saved now. And John looked at the book, and he cried, and he wept so much. He said, there's no one is find worthy to open the book. Under the earth, on the earth, there's nobody was find worthy to open that book of redemption, to be able to redeem the life of the people. But John wept. And the elder tell John, look now behind you. And the scripture says John saw a lion. But if John could continue saw a lion, because lion is judgment, John could continue wept. But the prophet said once John turned and he see the lamb as it was slain before the foundation of the world, he stopped crying. Because he said there's a provision now. Friend, for your sin and my sin, there's a provision. That's the model you and I, we want to look this afternoon. As we leave this place, do we have that love? Do we leave the person? Can we love someone even when the person hurt our feeling? When even the person stand on our foot, can we still love the person? That is the test. That is the loving character that you and I want to have it. And the prophet expressed it himself. We know the prophet has all this gift. But he said, if I was a given choice, now that God asked me, what will you choose?
And the prophet said, I will choose love. Because he knows that the love is God. All other things will pass. But love is God. That way I will choose love. But even that brother of mine, that I think is wrong, but because of the love of God in me, will make me to go extra mile to reconcile you with that brother, to reconcile with that sister, to say that, no, this is the devil. This is not the nature of God. The nature of God is that the love covers the multitude of sin. Isn't that the truth? Because you sin, you are many of them. Some of us, we were chiefest of sin. That if it wasn't the love, it covered the multitude of sin, we could not find ourselves for preaching the gospel here. We should find ourselves in jail. But because of the love of God, that covered the multitude of sin and make us the children of God today, how get the privileges to you and I. How get the privilege? That as we look in the scripture now, can we all be with one anchor and examine ourselves honestly, our life, and see that, no, not because someone tell me that I'm a Christian, that I feel better. But the scripture tell me, who am I? Which place I'm standing in the scripture? If I'm lacking those character of Christ inside of my life, what do I need? The prophet said, it's a killing that you need. It's a killing. There's nothing else that you need. It's a killing. It's to die to yourself. If you can't identify with him, then what you need is just dying to yourself. Let us stand and ask Brother George to lead us with a few songs as we will worship. And after worship, we'll all enter a time of prayer.
Spirit. To be like Jesus.
is our desire. Let us all speak to him.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again we come before you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, not coming, our desire is not to come before you as Pharisees would, Lord, with much vain repetitions, Lord.
Yes.
But Father, we come with sincerity of heart, Lord.
Amen.
Father God, with thanksgiving for the loving kindness and mercies you show to us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, upon this day, we thank you, Lord, for the word you've brought even upon the day, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, coming into your house, Lord, Father, we feel it was worth it, Lord.
Amen.
Father God, and we ask of thee that, Lord, we know your word does not go out and come back void.
Yes.
But, Lord, we pray that, Father God, it would find a resting place in our souls.
Amen.
Father God, not only that, but Lord, it will help us, build us up, Lord,
from yes, Lord.
Strength to strength, Lord, from faith unto faith.
Lord. Amen.
Father, may your word wrestle, Lord, with that stubborn nature, Lord, which
yes.
resists the word, Lord.
Mm.
Father God, we just ask, Lord, that in our hearts we'd be meek,
yes.
we'd be humble, Father God.
Amen.
For we know, Lord, that your spirit, which is the dove, which is gentle, Lord.
Mm.
But Father, it's only compatible with the nature of a lamb.
Amen.
So Lord, Father God, we desire this time to have that nature of the lamb, Lord.
Mm.
Father God, you see, even now, Lord, your children, they bowing their heads and raising their hands, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And their hearts unto thee, Father.
Amen.
Lord, believing, trusting, Father, according to your word, Lord.
Mm.
You said if we ask, we shall receive, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
If we knock on the door, it shall be open.
Yes.
Father God, now we came expecting, Lord, and we've received your word.
Yes, Lord.
Father, so we put aside all reasoning, Lord.
Mm.
Father, that your word would have its rightful place within us.
Yes.
Help us, Lord.
Please,
continue
Lord.
To be with us, Lord. Continue to guide and to lead us, Father.
Mm.
Lord, even when we leave this place, Lord, Father, give us grace and mercies, Lord, to go in meditation.
Yes.
Father, may we be like those two men from Emmaus, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, they spoke, Lord, about you. And we know, according to your word, Father, that where two or three gather in your name or speak upon thee,
yes,
you always draw near.
Amen.
So draw near unto us, Lord.
Please, Lord.
Speak to us, Father, when
yes,
we leave
Lord.
Here, Father.
Hmm.
May we not be caught up by the carnal and vain things of this life.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, that which we receive today would be robbed away from us.
Hmm.
But instead, Lord, may we go meditating on your word.
Hmm.
Father God, digging deeper, Lord, into your word.
Yes.
Father, for we know that we are as strong as the word which is within us.
Amen.
So help us in these things, Father.
Hmm.
Lord, we ask you a special blessing, Lord, upon
Please,
our
Lord.
Brother. Lord, as
yes,
his,
Lord.
Father, he was obedient, Lord, to your spirit moving him to
yes,
go down
Lord.
This line.
Amen.
Bless him, Lord God. Father, grant him grace and mercies, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, be merciful to us as well.
Please, Lord.
Father God, even before we leave your home, Lord, before we leave your house, Father.
Yes.
Lord, we want to remember our pastor who's,
Please,
Father,
Lord.
He's traveled, Lord, and we know that he'll be a blessing there where you have sent him.
Yes.
For he's not going about in his own wisdom or his own deeds, Lord.
Mm.
Father, he's going upon your invitation, upon your
yes,
calling,
Lord.
Lord. So, Father, be merciful to him there. Be merciful to the saints.
Mm.
And we pray you'd give him a safe travel back here, Father.
Please, Lord.
Lord, we ask as well that you'd be merciful, Father. We see these empty chairs here today.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, we think of Sister Charlotte, Lord.
Please, Lord.
Father, continue to be with her, Lord. We've seen your hand during surgery, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, we ask you to continue to give her strength, Lord.
Please, Lord.
Father, Lord, until she can come in here and sing the songs of Zion together with your children.
Yes, Lord.
Be with her. Be with Brother Egan and the children.
Please, Lord.
Father, we think of Brother Jose. We thank you for getting him out of hospital.
Yes, Lord.
But Lord, we'd be even much more rejoicing, Father, when he's here together in his rightful
Amen.
Post of duty, Father God. Lord, we think of Brother Brian, Lord, who's traveled, Lord. Father, we think of him, Lord, Jehovah God, not being with him is not the same.
Mm.
Father, how won't you be merciful to
Please,
your
Lord.
Son, Lord?
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
Only you know what is the best way to reach to your children.
Yes, Lord.
So be merciful to him, Lord, for that's our heart's desire.
Mm.
Lord, we may not have spoken of every need and every request that's needed here today.
Mm.
But Lord, you know them, Lord, before we even ask.
Yes, Lord.
So be merciful, Lord. Help all of us, Lord. Be with us now as we depart from your house. Father, may we go rejoicing as we give thanks to thee in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing the song that we dismiss in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Oh, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. He touched me.